Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak, and today is Fabulous Friday. How's that, Dave Parker?
It's great.
Good morning, my brother.
Good morning,
how are you,
Gary,
today?
I'm well.
Rainy out there.
Yes. Yes, it is. In spots.
But our friend Frank Eliason is back in town with us. Hey, man.
In spirit.
In spirit, yeah. Listen, you just relax. Take it easy. You just got back from traveling. You've got one ear clogged, I understand.
Yeah, it's the worst part about traveling when that happens. And you get that ear clog that won't go away. I have that. I had it on my trip out there. It finally cleared up right as I got on the plane coming back. And guess what came back? And now on my left ear, I can't hear anything.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Well, that is brutal. So you just sit here, relax,
yeah,
listen to us with one ear. Today on the show, we have some great guests. Dr. Monique Rubaroux will be here. She's a pro-life OBGYN. You've got to hear her story. She has written a new book called A Story of Renewal and Lessons Learned. Really, really good book. Also, Dan Burke will be here to help us in our spiritual journey into the deep. That's the segment with Dan. All right, let's get right to it. Before I start with prayer, I turned on the news today. On the way to the station, I do this every day, turned on the news, listened to, basically what I'm doing is listening to the traffic report. And obviously, what do I get hit with? First of all, it's dreary. We're going to have a chance of rain. Some of the weather could be severe. That's what the report said. I'm going to read that for you later. I listened to the story. The lead story on the radio was the Frank Rizzo statue was defaced last night. So that's the new thing. Everybody's defacing statues. People are attacking statues. That's the new thing. A lot of anger in the world. And then, of course, the Barcelona situation. Now, yeah, I mean, this is an uplifting show, and that's what we do here. We're here to uplift you. But I like to call this a reality show because we present reality. We present the message that God is bigger than any problem we can face. So, yeah, we're uplifting because God is bigger than all of these problems. Now, it's very easy to listen to the news. As I'm starting to listen to this, I myself, and again, I'm just trying to hear the traffic. The traffic was good, so I was okay there. But it's very easy to start to feel overwhelmed and hopeless even at times.
Yes.
Dave and Frank, it's very easy to fall into that. But we're here to give you the truth. I want to lift you up. And yeah, absolutely. We're going to pray for all of those affected. People lost their lives over in Spain. This is a big deal. But what's happening right now, we hear things like this and we think, oh no, could that happen here? And we start to get panicked. And you know what? God's in charge. He's bigger than this. And yeah, bad things happen, no doubt about it. But here's what I want to do. I want to start with prayer because that's always something we can do. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for those affected. We're going to pray for world peace. We're going to pray for an end to the hatred that we are seeing all over the place. And each one of us can do our part by being nice to somebody out there today. We're going to pray for those things. And then I want to read a psalm. Normally, I do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse at the end of the program. We're going to transfer it to the beginning, and we're going to have a Be Not Afraid Psalm today, Psalm 27. I'm going to read this, and I want you to just chill out and remember that the Lord is in charge. So let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we come to you today on this dreary Friday, a lot of negativity in the world. But Father, we know that you love us. We're going to think about that for a minute. We know that you love us. We know that you always want what's best for us. We know also that you are all-powerful. We know that you created the entire world out of nothing, the entire universe out of nothing. You created that. So we know you're bigger than any evil that exists in the world. You let it exist. You don't wipe it out, and we understand that. There is free will. So we go along with that. But Father, we turn to you. And we lift up all those who were affected by these recent terrorist actions in Spain. We lift up everyone who was suffering for whatever reason. We give you all of our problems. We ask you to bring about peace in the world. We ask you to bring about peace in our own hearts. We ask you to give us the grace that we need to go out there and to change the world for the better, to be a light shining in the darkness. And Father, we ask you to speak through us on this radio program. We ask you to help us to be able to give a message of hope because you're all about hope. We know that, but we forget it. So we ask you to inspire us today as we go on the air. And of course, we ask you to open our minds and our hearts to everything that you speak through us. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Now, let's Amen. Pray Psalm 27. I want you to listen to these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, above my enemies round about me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord.
Mm.
You know what,
Praise
guys?
Beautiful reading.
He is bigger than any of this stuff that we're going to be faced
Absolutely.
With today. But it's so hard.
Yes.
So hard to find him in the midst, in the messiness of daily life.
Yeah, because of our human nature. And we fear. We have fear. We have anxiety. Yet we have hope. And that's what you're calling us to, Psalm 27.
And
calling
that's
us to hope.
And realistically,
eternally.
Yeah, yes. Bad things can happen in the world. Bad things can happen to any of us in our lives. But you know what? Ultimately, we weren't created for this life alone. We're created to live with the Lord forever in heaven. And we need to remember that. And we also need to remember we share in the responsibility of making the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Who can I be nice to today? We overcomplicate it sometimes. And yet we are attacking people on social media. We're attacking people who don't agree with us. Like, what can I do today?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I said my piece. That's
bring love to the world. And, you know, that's what...
Starts with us, right?
It starts with us.
Each one of us.
But, you
yes.
know what? Also, not obviously these terrorist attacks bring us to, you know, other religious... You know what? Ask for the intercession of Mary. Do a rosary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, a lot of people in the Islamic faith actually have huge dedication to Mary, and a lot of people don't realize that.
Yes, they do.
And so ask for Mary's intercession.
Mm-hmm.
Do positive things around the people around you. You know, a lot of people don't feel that they're getting love in this world. They don't feel that anger just keeps building up amongst everybody.
No love, they're not being heard, whatever. Right. They're not getting what they feel they deserve.
And so show them the love.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so that's the message for today. Don't lose hope. It's okay. It's going to be all right. The Lord's not going anywhere. The Lord is unchanging. We need to remember that. Couple of quick things.
I was going to say,
Frank, go ahead.
But if you that none of that works, I think you should go try and find some famous spice waivers.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook, and
I had to share that lesson. But you know what?
So I helped lighten it up here. You know,
you
can take
there
it down.
You go.
Spice wafers are on their way out, everybody. So you know,
they're
maybe
coming.
You
go
right?
On, I shared
go
that
on a
on
quest
Facebook
to find
the
spice wafers.
It's that time of year. It's fall.
Urbans. That's right. Wait a minute. It's still summer. So let's.
Fall is coming.
That's right. Dare I do the weather before the gospel?
I dare you.
All right, let's do it. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 76 degrees and raining. Today, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Yeah, just look outside. High near 89 tonight, more showers and thunderstorms. Could be severe at times, so you want to be careful. Mm-hmm. Low around 73. Saturday, sunny with a high near 88. It's going to be a nice day tomorrow.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Whoa. We've started the music early here on Spirit in the Morning.
We're not going to break, folks.
Let's do the gospel today. Another one of these tough messages from Jesus. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, some Pharisees approached Jesus and tested him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever?" He said in reply, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate." They said to him, "Then why did Moses command that the man give a woman a bill of divorce and dismiss her?" He said to them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts. Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, and marries another, commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If that is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." He answered, "Not all can accept this word, but only those to whom it is granted. Some are incapable of marriage because they were born so. Some because they were made so by others. Some because they have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever can accept this ought to accept it." All right, some days I wish Jesus had a different message. Mm-hmm. This is a tough one.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, on a Friday, that's a tough one.
It's a tough, but you know what? This is part of our dynamic relationship with Christ. He's real.
Yes.
So therefore, when he speaks to us through the pages of the Bible, which he does, sometimes he's going to say things that we would rather not hear.
Well, absolutely.
He is talking about the permanence of marriage right there. I mean, you can't get around it.
Mm-hmm.
It is permanent.
And I say that was a tough thing on a Friday because some people have fallen away from that belief, you know?
Right.
And I mean, I don't want to start a whole thing, but
no. We
all know folks that, I know folks in my family that they just don't buy that.
But it's partially societal pressures that we fall to.
Yes, exactly.
Right, right. And we don't like the idea of anything being permanent. We like a way to get out. So I'm going to go into this marriage, but if it doesn't work, you know what? No big deal. I'll move on.
We kind of take the low road. We don't take the high road. You know, when if we espouse and believe that gospel, you know, or that reading.
So, I think what Jesus is saying here is I have something better in mind for you guys.
But at the same time, marriage is tough.
It is.
I could probably ask your wives, and they'd probably say,
don't get too started. That'll take up the rest of the show.
Don't go there.
That's why Christ elevated it into a sacrament, and we get the grace to endure. Absolutely. Good gospel today. Tough message. When we come back, Dr. Monique Rubaru. Stay tuned. I fooled you.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 18th. Today we celebrate St. Louis of Toulouse. Though born into a royal family, Louis showed an early interest in the corporal works of mercy. As a child, he took food from the castle to feed the poor. He progressed in his spiritual life and his studies under the tutelage of Franciscan friars. At 20, Louis renounced his royal title and declared his desire to become a priest. Soon after his ordination, he was appointed Bishop of Toulouse, but he asked to become a Franciscan first. The Franciscan spirit pervaded Louis. "Jesus Christ is all my riches. He alone is sufficient for me," he said repeatedly. Like St. Francis, he developed a special love for those afflicted with leprosy. He even assigned a Franciscan to offer him correction in public if necessary, and that friar did his job. Louis's service to his diocese was well received, and in no time he was considered a saint. As bishop, he set aside 75% of his income to feed the poor and maintain churches. Each day he welcomed 25 poor people to share food with him. Louis died in 1297 at age 23 and was canonized 20 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
more inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, there will come a time when you can make it on your own. And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. He lost his job and all he had in the fall of 09. Now he feared the worst, that he would lose his children and his wife. So he drove down deep into the woods and thought it ended all. And prayed, Lord above, I need a miracle. Found a miracle.
That was I Need a Miracle by Third Day. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Thank you so much for joining us today. The time right now is 7:18. Well, we're joined right now by Dr. Monique Rubaru. She has written a book called Rising with Roses, a story of renewal and lessons learned. Dr. Rubaru is a pro-life OBGYN based in the Philadelphia area. I'm so excited to have her on the program. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
I love your story. Thank you so much for joining us. You are such a witness in a world that, you know, it's difficult to do what you do. Doctor, if you will, I want to talk about the book, but if you will, just let's set things up by talking about how you had a major conversion, it looks like, and really decided to devote your life to the pro-life cause.
Yeah, I've been so blessed. I mean, you know, God is really impactful, and he works so swiftly in such amazing ways. Mm-hmm. I was just a typical GYN and, right. You know, practicing exactly the way that I was taught to practice throughout residency and medical school. using all of the common tools, mm-hmm. contraceptives pretty much to address every issue. And then a point came in my life where my marriage kind of collapsed, and
wow.
God stepped in and he renewed it, and he changed my heart, and he healed me, and he helped me to, you know, come to a place of love and forgiveness. And he really changed our marriage. He brought people into my life that helped me to renew our marriage and to really work with my husband to come to where we are now, which is such an amazing place. And so because of that, at that moment, I felt so just indebted to God, and I wanted to do something for him that was so outside of my box.
Mm.
And the thing that was most uncomfortable in my mind was praying outside of an abortion center.
Wow.
And so that was the first time I ever went, and I prayed outside of the abortion center. And, you know, when you read the book, you really see how God had already almost put this into play beforehand. I mean, the people that he had praying that a pro-life OBGYN would come to this area for ages, the people that he
wow.
had, you know, introducing NAPR technology into the hospital and into the area long before I was even on the scene. It's just unbelievable how he brought me there at the perfect time, you know, the day after John Stanton, who is really patriarch of the pro-life community in this area, how he brought me there at that very instant, the day after he passed, when the people really needed some form of hope, some sign that, you know, this would all go on. So it was really such a blessing to be a part of that, and to really, as I walk, seeing how John Stanton has done so much just in preparation up along the way, just so
what
driven by God.
What a great story. And mm-hmm. and as you're talking about this, I'm thinking, I mean, this is amazing. We booked you on the program today. I did it without thinking about the gospel. The gospel today is about the permanence of marriage, and you're talking about how the Lord healed
oh,
your
wow.
marriage. I mean, it just, this fits in nicely. You know what? It's a reminder, though, and I started the show by just really reassuring everybody out there. The world can be an ugly place, and we can look at the news, the terrorism, the abortion statistics, and we can become overwhelmed, but ultimately, there's hope. And that's what the message I'm getting from you. There is hope. God is in
so
charge,
true.
And he's using you to give people hope.
Oh, wow. He's just so amazing. And you're so correct about the importance of marriage. I mean, the family is the unit that structures the entire world. And in blessing the family and consecrating these marriages and having that marriage being a union between God and this couple, it's just, as each family grows, it's just a witness to God and an opportunity to really affect our world. So the devil trying to break down the marriages, it totally makes sense that he would try and do that, but we have to fight that with everything we've got in order
right.
to honor our Lord.
That's right. So. That's right. And I want to refer to a couple of quotes. I found an article that was published about you in Catholic Philly a few years ago, and there's a couple quotes from you that are just outstanding. You said this: as a physician, I took an oath to protect life. The pro-life movement is the group every physician should be involved with, trying to defend life from conception to natural death. Now, we've got some physicians listening. Some of them might not be on board with the pro-life movement. What would you say to them?
You know, I think it's very easy to get disenchanted with people when you meet and you hear the wrong message from the wrong person.
Right.
You know, as I was going through university, my jaded view of the pro-life movement was that these were people standing outside of abortion centers, yelling at people, scaring people, being judgmental of people. But I honestly did not know any true pro-lifers that were doing the work that needed to be done.
Right.
Or I might have known them, but I didn't know exactly what they were doing. So it's really important to educate yourself on exactly what is being done. In the pro-life community, so much good is being done.
Right.
And, you know, people are, when you use that sidewalk advocate program to train people, when you're participating in 40 Days for Life, when you're a sidewalk servant in Philly in between 40 Days for Life, it's such an amazing opportunity to stand outside of a center and to love someone and to be there for them, to honor them, and to offer them other alternatives. And then once they have chosen life, you know, walking with them throughout their pregnancy, after the delivery, you know, being that community for them, that is what pro-life is, you know, honoring every single person, mm-hmm. no matter what they look like, how genetically they're put together, what their capabilities are, honoring them because each person has this really special thing that God has given them, some task in this life.
Right.
And, you know, honoring them all the way until they enter back into his kingdom.
Mm, well put, and it's not a negative movement. And I think so many times,
it's
anti. We get typecast as being anti-abortion. No, we're pro-life.
Or pro-birth.
That's exactly right.
So crazy.
Very well spoken, Doctor. The book is A Story of Renewal and Lessons Learned, and I mean, I highly recommend this book. If our listeners want to maybe pick up a copy of the book, where is the best place?
So any of the major Catholic events in Philadelphia that are going on, I will be present most likely.
Okay.
The Walk for Life in downtown Philadelphia that's coming up prior to 40 Days for Life, Abbey Fest, and all of those, the Women's Conference. We hope to have tables for 40 Days for Life and Sidewalk Servants, and I'll be
awesome.
Selling my book there as well. When you purchase it there, it's actually at a cheaper price. It's only $10.
Okay.
If you pay with cash, and maybe a little bit more if you have to use a credit card. Otherwise, if you can't make it out to those events to meet me and get your book signed, then you can go on Amazon. And at Amazon, you can get it on Kindle for $9.99, and you can get it with the paperback for $15. So
excellent. And I will make it a point to put a link to the Amazon where we can purchase it on Amazon on spiritinthemorning.com. Doctor, I can't believe it. We just about have 1 minute left. You're really courageous, and I want to commend you for doing what you're doing. It's not easy, but thank you for your witness.
You know, it's not me. I'm just a vessel. It's the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so thrilled that he allows me to be the vessel.
You are awesome. We definitely have to get you on the program again. Would you come back someday to continue telling your story?
Anytime.
Thank you. Thank you for being so available. We really appreciate it. God bless you for the good work that you do.
God bless.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Dr. Monique Rubiru. The book is A Story of Renewal and Lessons Learned. Very courageous witness. You know, she's very open about how God healed her marriage and led her. She felt called to get involved with the 40 Days for Life campaign. It's not easy for a doctor, for an OBGYN to take that position, because she's going to get a lot of pressure mm-hmm. from people saying, hey, not everybody believes that way. You can't do that. But she heard the call of the Lord. And she went out there, and she is a witness for life in the world. The book, A Story of Renewal and Lessons Learned by Dr. Monique Rubiru. Check it out at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, Dan Burke is going to take us into the deep. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Catalonia's regional president says that there's at least one terrorist still out there after the attacks in Barcelona and at a seaside resort. Carles Puigdemont also told Ona Cero Radio, quote, "We don't have information regarding the capacity to do more harm," end quote. It wasn't immediately clear if the person on the run is the driver of the speeding van that killed at least 13 people and injured more than 100 others in Barcelona. Pope Francis, meanwhile, is praying for the victims of that Barcelona van attack and expressing his closeness to their families. Vatican spokesman Greg Burke says the Pope was greatly worried about yesterday's attack and is following developments closely. The Vatican has greatly increased security for the Pope's public events to prevent similar truck assaults on crowds that throng his weekly audiences and Sunday Angelus in St. Peter's Square. The main boulevard leading to the piazza has been closed to traffic for well over a year. And U.S. intelligence agencies' assessment of the size of North Korea's nuclear arsenal have a wide gap between high and low estimates. Size matters, and not knowing makes it harder for the U.S. to develop a policy for deterrence and defend itself and allies in the region. Officials say some U.S. assessments conclude North Korea has produced or has the ability to produce anywhere from around 30 to 60 nuclear weapons, but civilian experts put the arsenal at a dozen to about 30 weapons. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress. A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life. It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty, something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not.
It's not about paranoia
or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. In his column for the Catholic Standard newspaper, Father William Byrne shared advice on several things we should never forget to do. First, call an old friend. An email, a note, or a call is not as awkward as it may seem. If they don't write back, it's good that you tried. Second, lie on the ground and look at the clouds. God is an amazing artist. Not only can he paint the sky, he can change it constantly. Third, be quiet. This is the hardest of all because we have such noise in our worlds. The quietest place of all is a church in the middle of the day. Pay a visit. There's no need to say anything. God knows it already. Finally, smell the roses. No, literally. Stop and smell some roses. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Call it on hands, call it on feet to take a stand. Why sit around and wait for a miracle to come?
And that was Natalie Grant B. One, a reminder to us all, we can be that miracle for somebody else. Be that light shining in the darkness. Speaking of lights shining in the darkness, we are joined now, as we are each Friday, by our friend Dan Burke, the executive director of EWTN's National Catholic Register. He is also the founder of the spiritualdirection.com website. Dan, good morning, brother.
Good morning. You know, you said a light to the world. I think the world's very dark, so dim bulbs look bright. So I that's all I would claim.
I love your humility, man. I love your humility. All right, Dan, I got some tough questions for you today. Are you ready?
I don't know.
Let's see. The Holy Spirit always guides us, and I know today is no different. All right, this is the Into the Deep segment. We're trying to look at ways that we can grow closer to the Lord. Now, Dan, it's been said, I know St. Ignatius was very big on this, the idea of visualizing gospel stories and meditating upon Scripture, right? I mean, picturing the stories, whatever. It's a very good way to grow closer to the Lord. But I got a question for you. What happens? I've got a vivid imagination. I've always been a daydreamer. What do we do, Dan, when that's not what we want to think about? When we want to think about, I mean, our mind naturally gravitates toward things that please us. So what do I do? What can I do when instead of wanting to meditate on the gospel, I want to meditate on music that I heard, maybe a game that I saw last night, maybe a movie, maybe what I'm having for lunch? What do we do, Dan? Do we just force ourselves to think about spiritual things? Can we do that?
Yeah, in St. Paul in the New Testament, in his one of his epistles said, in Corinthians actually, that we should take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And in my own rule of life, I have two evaluations I do every day, one at noon and one in the evening, where it says custody of mind in my rule of life. And so what I'm evaluating is where in the first part of the day were my thoughts and my mind, because I'm responsible before God how I use my intellect and my creative imagination and abilities, my mental powers, if you will, or faculties. And I have a commitment, personal commitment, that it will always be used to bring him honor and glory. And so I asked myself twice a day, have I allowed my mind to decide what it wants to do? Which is to follow curiosity and to muse on things that are not helpful.
Right.
Or have I had custody of this gift and used it to, as you say, be a light in the darkness? So most definitely, it's given to us to help us to be holy and to help others to do the same, and it's our responsibility. A lot of people, though, Gary, I think this is part of what's a little bit behind the question. A lot of people think that, well, just the thoughts that I have are all mine, and it's okay that I have them, and wherever they go is where they go. It's like we're a victim,
right?
You know, to them. But that's not in keeping with tradition or Scripture. Certainly, it's something that our mental capacities are to be used to glorify God.
You know, I started off the show today by discussing the fact that when I drive to the station in the morning, I turn on the news briefly just to hear the traffic. And I was hit with all the news about Barcelona, and it's raining here in the Philadelphia area. And you know, Dan, if that's all we're listening to, it's really easy to lose sight of the fact that God is ultimately in charge, you know, and that there is hope. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think sometimes what we expose ourselves to in the media can really affect the way we think. And sometimes it's just a matter of turning things off and turning to the Lord.
Yeah, so the same problem existed in Jesus when Jesus was walking among us, and it's perfectly illustrated, of course, by the story of Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee, calling Peter out of the boat, and it was stormy at that time, right?
Right.
And so what happened to Peter? He gets out in faith because he sees Jesus, and Jesus calls him, and there's the power of saying yes to the Lord, but then his attention is drawn to the ferocity of the sea and the storm. And that intensity begins to cause his faith to wane and his focus to turn. I mean, so God gave us that gift of that powerful illustration of how we sink spiritually, we sink emotionally when we focus on the darkness. We're not called to focus on the darkness. We are specifically admonished in Scripture to focus on the redemptive work of God, the beautiful work of God in the midst of the darkness, and that way we can rise above it, transcend. We are called to transcend the darkness, to be in the world but not of it, so that we can be a light to others as to the way of peace, the way of salvation in Christ.
Dan, I don't want to panic anybody who's listening to the program, because a lot of people are going to be listening saying, yeah, but I'm thinking about my vacation. I'm thinking about things that please me. I'm thinking about the Eagles game last night. I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch. I'm thinking about music that I like. Does it get any easier? And do you, I get the idea that we have to control our thoughts, we take custody of our thoughts, that we don't waste time just thinking about needless things. But do you get to the point where you get joy? And I struggle with this myself sometimes, and I work at this very hard. Do you get to the point where it becomes easier and you say, you know what, I want to meditate on this gospel passage because it brings me joy? Do you get to that point? Is it a process? I guess that's what I'm trying to ask.
It is, and it's fact. It's normal. If you read the spiritual doctors of the church, particularly Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross,
right,
St. Francis de Sales as well, they reveal this kind of normative path of, you know, battle. The beginning is battling with your sins and your flesh, but over time, as you become more and more like Christ, He becomes more and more present to you. You progress in holiness. You're more and more detached from the world. That pattern to sainthood really is the normal Christian life. And so the answer is absolutely yes. We can feel more and more joy, experience more and more of the presence of the Lord as we move deeper in union with Him.
Right.
And that's the end of that is what you see in the beauty of the Saint Thérèse of Lisieux as she was fighting with illness to her death, and John of the Cross in the same way. How is it that these people could joyfully help others to heaven to their last moment as they are suffering? Well, it's because their suffering and the difficulties of the world no longer own them. Instead, they're in Christ. They're not a product of all the junk that this world produces. They're a product, if you will, or of union with God. And so, coming from an abusive background and the life that I lived as a young man was a huge torment to me. And I would never trade what I know now in Christ, and I haven't achieved it in the sense of I haven't caused all this joy. But when you say yes to God by His power and grace, He draws you ever more deeply into it, and then you can be thereby a light to the world and live a life of peace, even in the midst of the storm.
And that's such an important witness, Dan. I appreciate you talking about that and being as open as you are about this, because there are people who are suffering out there. I've been one of them for many years. I've been tormented by so many things, and what I have found now, that the only way I get peace in life is when I turn to the Lord. You know, the world can be a scary place unless you open up your Bible, unless you spend time in prayer, unless you receive the sacraments as often as you can. Then all of a sudden it becomes less scary, because you're walking closely with the Lord. So, Dan, I want to thank you for joining us today. We got about a minute left, and here's what I want to do. First of all, you are an incredibly busy guy, and I want everybody to know how busy you are and how much I appreciate all the effort that you put in to leading souls to Christ. You're doing it all the time on Facebook. You're doing it all over social media. In addition to your day job, you really care, and I know that. And I want people to really take advantage of your services. spiritualdirection.com. You need to sign up for these daily emails. Right, Dan? You do it daily emails?
Just about every day, yeah. Spiritualdirection.com, the Avila Institute to learn spiritual theology. We really are seeing the captive set free through our courses at the Avila Institute.
Okay.
So we'd love to your listeners to come on over and check us out.
You've got to do that. And also the book Into the Deep, the book that started it all for us on the program. So, Dan, we thank you for joining us once again. I really appreciate your insight, brother.
Well, it's great to be with you guys always, and you have a beautiful day. Be a light to the world, brother.
All right, my man, Dan Burke. Wow, that's powerful. I got to go sit and ponder what he just said for a few minutes. We'll be right back.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpo. In Matthew 19:3, some Pharisees asked Jesus if it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever. Jesus responded by quoting scripture that a man is to leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. So they asked why Moses allowed divorce. Jesus said, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce, but from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, commits adultery." When my father died several years ago, I realized how much I had always related to my parents by their relationship to each other. It was tangible and alive. Now I recognize it as the presence of Jesus holding them together. Mere creatures can never remove such a presence from their lives. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
10,000 Reasons by Matt Redman. I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I want to say a couple things in closing today as we wrap up. Now, remember, we did the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. I transferred that to the beginning, Psalm 27. Check that out later today if you're becoming stressed. This is what Dan was talking about, Dan Burke. And also, please, make sure you check out spiritualdirection.com to find out the great resources that Dan offers. Look, there's going to be a lot in the world that's going to that could easily panic you if you lose your focus. That's why something like the Psalms and Scripture in general can be very calming, very therapeutic for us, because it reminds us that God is in charge. Also, prayer is it's critical, because when we become panicked, the reason we become panicked in life in general is because we think there's nothing I can do to prevent this or that from happening or to bring something about. But there's always something you can do. You can pray. Now, with that in mind, I want to point out that today is the first day of the St. Monica Novena. Now, to find out more information about this, you can go to praymorenovenas.com. praymorenovenas.com. The story of St. Monica, she's somebody who prayed for the conversion of her son, Augustine, for many years. He was leading a pretty raunchy life. He was not a good person. He was doing some really bad things. She prayed for him. She never gave up. She kept praying because she believed in the power of God to do all things. And eventually what happened? Augustine had a major conversion. He became a priest. He became a bishop. He went on to become a doctor of the church, one of the greatest teachers the church has ever known, St. Augustine. What if Monica stopped praying? What if after 1 or 2 years she got fed up and said, you know what, I'm not going to pray anymore? So if you have something that you need today, maybe one of your children, maybe you're concerned about them and you're worried about their how they're living their life, maybe they're away from the church, maybe they're sick, maybe any kind of thing, any number of things that you're concerned about with your children is happening, don't panic about it. Pray about it. This St. Monica Novena would be a great place to start. So what you need to do to find out more information, go to praymorenovenas.com and begin this St. Monica Novena. Maybe you're concerned about the state of the world. This is a great novena for you to pray. With God, all things are possible. Now, before we sign off, Dave Parker, you have a public service announcement.
Yes, it's kind of a safety announcement. But also, speaking of God creating the universe and the calmingness that we might need, Monday is the solar eclipse, as we have all heard. So I just want to say, I mean, that's the power of God created the universe. And if we can take a look at just one little, you know, snippet of what his power is, who else could align, you know, put the moon in between the sun and the earth and set that up? And that's always in motion. So, I mean, that's his power. And we can call on him. He loves us. He created us. So taking that power, you know, into our lives personally, as Gary has so aptly said and Dan has said, you know, so use safety glasses, though. I have to be practical, you know. Don't look at the sun uncovered. And there are special ones out there that if they say ISO on them,
How do you get those? Do you know, Dave?
I would Google how to get those glasses. Maybe Frank
a lot of places are sold out at this point. Oh, okay. But one of the things to know is many libraries have them available to borrow at the day. So your local library, if you're interested, may be on that list. If you Google libraries and solar eclipse glasses, you'll be able to get to a list of all the libraries that have them.
Yeah, okay. The sanctioned ones. Thank you.
So be careful out
there.
Be
careful. But enjoy it.
But enjoy it. It's God at work, right?
It's God at work, and there's a sign, folks.
Definitely.
So I have a tweet from Pope Francis.
Let's hear it.
So, may nothing stop you from living and growing in your Heavenly Father's friendship and from witnessing to His infinite goodness and mercy.
Wow. That is so basic, but yet so powerful.
Exactly.
Right? That's something we all need to remember. Keep that in mind. Don't let the world get you down. Remember, God is in charge. Turn to Him today instead of panicking. Next week on the show, Monday, we're going to be joined by author and speaker Randy Hain. He's going to be talking about how to be a joyful Catholic. How's that for a novel idea? Also, our friend Chris Stepien will be here. Later in the week, Jeannie Mancini, from the president of the March for Life, will be joining us, among many other guests. It's going to be a great week next week. Remember that the Lord is with you this weekend. So wherever you go, no matter what you hear otherwise, don't believe it. He's with you. He loves you. He's all-powerful. Make sure you turn around and say hi. Thank you so much for listening to the program today. God bless you. Have a great weekend.